Okay, Exodus chapter 17. The Bible said in verse number 8, then came Amalek. And I was looking at a pronunciation of that today, and it's not like I pronounce it. And so I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to stay with Amalek. Is that all right? Is that the way y'all have heard it? Amen. And we'll just stay with that. You know who it is. And he fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And I'll say this to you tonight. There's one thing about our church. We're blessed with people from the nursery all the way to senior citizens. But we're blessed with a group of senior citizens that I promise you, our hands are getting heavy. Amen. As we near our home, our hands get heavy. If we're involved in the work. The Bible said here, Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat thereon. And I was thinking, Brother Houston, that I don't believe that was a 12-inch cinder block. It was a rock big enough to hold Moses, and I don't think Moses was a tiny little feller. So it took some effort, didn't it, amen, to get this stone over there where Moses could have a seat and sit on it. And the Bible said he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Now, I caught something this time through here that I had not caught before. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. This is where the message was birthed in my heart. When I looked up, and I know I knew this years ago, but I had to look it up again. That word, Jehovah Nissi, that name of God, it means the Lord, our banner. The Lord, our banner. So keep that in mind. And it said here, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. I'll get into this a little bit later, but in verse number 14, he says, basically, I'm going to utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek. And then in verse number 16, he said, the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And I don't know if you're looking at that the same way I am, but it looks like two different things are being said. And the simple thing that I'm going to pray and get into the message in just a moment, but the simple thing that I see there is that when you remember when Saul was told to take out the king, and take out all the cattle, take out all the people. Amen. And he spared Agag. You remember that? The king. And I believe that in verse number 14, that may have been the way that it would have been had God's will been done. But you see, you have the Amalekites. I think it was over, I made a note here somewhere. I believe it was over in the book of Nehemiah, that's right, that are still causing problems. And you remember when in Samuel where it said, what is this bleeding and the lowing of the cattle, in other words. And another thing too, this puts us in a whole different light, the statement that says for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And it was Saul that rebelled against God. And what did God do? He took his kingship away from him. Amen. Amen. And so this Amalek is serious. And I want to look at it tonight and give you some things that I believe the Lord will help us with in the days ahead. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for your people. And I know, Lord, they're tired. Everybody's got things, Lord, they've been doing and need to do. But right now, Lord, help us to give you our undivided attention as we look into the Word of God for just a few minutes. Help us to realize, our Father, that we have a common enemy. And Lord, that we can be victors. The Word of God, the Apostle Paul said, thanks be to God, which always giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to have that spirit. If God be for us, who can be against us? And Lord, we know that you spared not your own Son. How shall you not with him freely give us all things that we need tonight? And I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to be better Christians. Help us to be, Lord, children of the living God in such a way, Lord, as we talked about in Sunday school, there'd be enough evidence in our life to convict us of being a Christian. If we were hauled into the court of law and accused of being a Christian, may there be plenty of evidence that we be convicted by our peers, those around us. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, Amen. Amalek in the Word of God, if you studied it, he is a type of the flesh. Amalek is the grandson of Esau. Esau was a man of the flesh. He was the one that gave in and sold his birthright in order to get him a bowl of beans, so to speak, or some lentils. He was one that, and everybody probably knows somebody like this. They don't live for another day. All they do is live in the moment. They don't plan for another day. Now listen, I believe there's a danger in thinking too much about another day. But I do believe the book of Proverbs tells us that it's wise, amen, to prepare for another day and to trust the Lord as we do so. And the Word of God, I'm going to give you four things tonight in this little text that we've read. And we need to see the importance of all of these things tonight. Number one, the importance of the battle. I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Galatians, please, and chapter number 5. You say, Pastor, what do you mean the battle? Well, if Amalek is the type of the flesh, and then you have the people of God tonight, just like in the Old Testament here, you have the people of God that are at war with Amalek, then what about us in New Testament times? The Word of God said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Can I tell you, God had it right when he said the battle is going to go on from generation to generation. I believe tonight he said that against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And so I want you to see the importance of the battle. I want to look at just a couple of things. The timing. This is right after God has rained down manna from heaven and fed the children of Israel. I'm telling you, beloved, one of the most dangerous times in our lives as God's people is after God has wrought a great victory in our life. I said that I think after Bible school, God begins to grow. And I'm telling you, listen to me tonight. Right now, I'm just being honest with you. Right now, God is blessing our class. But there's this fear in the back of my heart that you'll go over there one morning and the interest will be gone. You say, Pastor, you shouldn't have that kind of fear. Listen, I do, Brother Preston, amen, that the participation won't be what it is right now. I love those youngins. Amen. I'm trying to pour my heart into them. But every one of us realizes there's a battle going on in their lives. There's a battle going on in our lives. And if we lose this battle, beloved, listen, there's a lot at stake. Amen. If we lose this battle with Amalek, there's a lot at stake. What I'm trying to say is right now, I believe God is
Listen, they stood up here and sang in the Bible school and quoted verses, and they're fixing to start learning another song and learning more verses for Brother Coulter's service. And I thank God for that. But there's a great victory, and it's not time to let the guard down. Amen. Brother Steve, your room right now is full. It's packed out. It's not time to let the guard down, because Amalek is still on the scene. Amen. And he still wants to destroy that old stinking fella that I look at in the mirror. That old flesh. One of my favorite lines in song is Sweet Hour Prayer, when it says, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and cease the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, Sweet Hour Prayer. But it's not time yet, because from generation to generation, God willing, I'll get to see Sawyer and Livia soon. And I'll, you know, Bob and Charity, that's kind of side items. Amen. I say things like that because I know Laura will tell them. But anyway, I'm telling you, those youngins, God only knows how I miss them youngins. Amen. I know that they have to do what they have to do. I just wish they could do it closer. Amen. The timing, right after the manna, right after Moses, Brother Steve just takes a rod. They don't have any water, and they're griping and they're complaining. If you didn't hear this Wednesday night, I'll say it again. Brother Don and Brother Steve brags on him. He's worthy to be bragged on. He's a precious man of God. Brother Don said, everybody says, what do you miss most about pastoring? He said, the paycheck. He said, I don't miss the griping. I don't miss the complaining. I don't miss that moaning. Amen. And I just thought, I felt like crawling under the table back there. Amen. Thank God for a man that'll be honest. Amen. Listen, everybody's got flesh. The Bible said here Moses took the rod and he smote the rock. They're complaining. And here comes water gushing. He's not just feeding 10 or 20. And he's not just feeding 200 or 400. I'm telling you, he's feeding thousands of people. God is feeding them with manna from heaven, and God has given them plenty of water to drink. I thank God. Listen, there's typology in this. That manna is Christ. Christ is the only one that can sustain us. That water is Christ. That rock, the Bible said, read it in the book of Hebrews. That rock that followed them, that rock was Christ. It's what the Word of God said. Amen. The importance of the battle. We see the timing. We see something else that's important here. Right after the timing, the Word of God said, then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. Let me just give you something that I think will help you. Do you know why Amalek comes? And you know where he comes? He don't come to people he's already got. You let somebody sell out for God, somebody say, I'm going to serve the Lord. You let a young person say, you know what? By the grace of God, I'm going to be like Daniel. I'm going to be like David. I'm going to be like Joseph. I'm going to serve God. And I tell you, old Amalek's coming. The world, the flesh, and the devil, not going to sit idly by while God's people serve him. The timing. Then I see something else that's important. Look in verse number 10. The Bible said, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up. And the second thing I want you to see here in the importance of the battle is the top of the hill. Listen, this will help us. We are not fighting for the victory. What if we looked at situations in our life? What if we looked at everything through the lens of Calvary? What if we looked at it from the top of the hill? Are you listening to me? I believe tonight, beloved, listen, there was a reason Moses wanted to go up there. He could see more clearly the battle and what was going on from the top of the hill. And I believe, listen to me right now. Listen. You say, Pastor, why does your stinking flesh give you so much trouble? I'll tell you why, beloved, because God knows I want to stay on top of that hill. I want to look at my church. I want to look at my family. I want to look at my community. I want to look at the country from the top of the hill. And so where does the flesh want me? At the bottom. It doesn't want me at the top of the hill where God can use me. I remember preaching a message one time from the top of the hill to the bottom at the meal. In one chapter, Samson was on the top of the hill carrying off the gates, the bars and all. And he ends up on the bottom at the meal with his eyes gouged out, grinding. But you know what? That same enemy wants to gouge our eyes out so that we can't see from the top of the hill. I believe that's important. And then I see a tragedy as I talk about the importance of the battle. You say, Pastor, what do you mean you see a tragedy here? Well, in verse number 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. I think I can get an amen right here, Brother Wayne. Sometimes the flesh wins. Ain't that right? Sometimes that old flesh wins, Brother Michael, and we say something we shouldn't say, think something we shouldn't think, do something we shouldn't do, watch something we shouldn't watch, listen to something we shouldn't listen to, go somewhere we shouldn't go. Somebody help me tonight. But I tell you what, if you know the Lord, you know the struggle. Amen. There's going to be a battle. There, that one's at war with the other. Amen. I believe Paul talked about that, didn't he? In the book of Romans, you all remember over in the book of Romans in chapter number 7, where the Bible said, for that which I do, I allow not, for what I would do, I do not, but what I hate, that I do. Amen. And then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law. It's good. Nothing wrong with the law. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's that stinking Amalek, amen, that flesh. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth. Beloved, we better get this. No good thing. Amen. This flesh is rotten. It's corrupt. It's capable of doing anything it did before you got saved and worse, amen, after that you got saved. The Bible said, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Does it sound like a battle to you? Listen, I'm not using this text, and neither will the Apostle Paul. He's not using this text to excuse. He's just admitting that there is a real royal battle going on in the hearts and lives of God's people. He said, now if I do that which I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. By the way, beloved, you'll never understand 1 John unless you understand when it says he sinneth not. That's a part of us. That's that inward man. That's that man that's created in the image of God. This outward man will never stop until we drop him and get our new man. Amen. Our new body. But on the inside of us, a new man liveth. The Bible said here, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. Then he said this. Paul didn't try to change it up. You see, they got a modern version of Amazing Grace. It says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saves such a one as I. Because they don't want to use the word wretch. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Without Christ, you and I are wretched. And let me tell you something else. Even with Christ, we're still in a wretched old body. The Bible said this, beloved. It said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. No wonder, no wonder, no wonder Paul could say things like this: for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I'm caught in a strait betwixt the two, having the desire to go and be with Christ. And then he said this, which is far better. He knew there was somebody he wouldn't have to face after he got with Christ. That's that old Paul, or that old Saul. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There's just a little description of that battle that's going on with Amalek. I want to give you something. Turn to Deuteronomy. Turn to Deuteronomy. If you get all this message, you'll have to come back Wednesday night or stay till 9 tonight. Either one you want to do. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Give you a thought right here as I was studying and looking up some things. In chapter 25 and verse number 17 and 18, the Word of God said here, remember what Amalek did unto thee, by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt. That's the text that we're in back there in Exodus. How he met thee, by the way, look at this now, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say the flesh don't play fair.
Amen.
He ain't going to stand up in front of you and say, here I am, let's go to war. He's sneaking in, Brother Steve, from behind. The enemy don't play fair. Now, I want you to watch this now. Listen, everybody that's ever served God very long has experienced a little bit of what I'm about to say. Beloved, it said they were feeble, even all that were feeble, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. I believe one of the most dangerous times in the life of a believer is when we get wore out. You know, up north of the Mason-Dixon, they don't even know what that means. But down south, we know what it means to be wore out, don't we?
Yeah.
You can get wore out in your body. Is that thunder? Yeah. Glory to God, I heard that with one hearing aid. I can't say that anymore. I used to say I can't hear thunder, but I think I just hear thunder. Amen. Maybe that's Brother David's stomach growling. I don't know. Did you feed him, Sister Teresa? You didn't? I wouldn't either. Amen. Amen. Listen. He comes from behind. The enemy ain't going to show up and say, here I am. Let's fight. He's going to try to sneak in from behind. And you know what he's going to do? He's not going to start, Brother Steve, with the strongest in our congregation. He's going to try to come in and catch somebody that's weary. Somebody that's feeble.
Amen.
Same way in a family.
Yes, sir.
No wonder the Word of God said, be strong in the Lord.
Yeah.
And in the power of His might. We're no match for the devil. We're no match for the flesh. And we're no match for this world. But honey, there's one living inside of us.
Amen.
The flesh can't handle. The world can't handle. And the devil can't handle. Amen. He loves us tonight. And he wants us to go forward. Great victory. Then came Amalek. The importance of the battle. I want to just give you the other three things tonight. We'll come back Wednesday night and preach these out a little bit. But the other three things that God wants us to see in this text is the importance of the brethren, the importance of the book, and the importance of our banner. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. In case you haven't noticed, we're all different. Amen. God made us all different, and we have differences, differences of opinion, differences in the way we comb our hair. differences in the way we wear our beard, differences in the clothes we wear. There are differences. But I want to tell you this. If we can just remember, if you're a child of God tonight, our sister sang, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. We're under the same blood-stained banner.
Thank you.
And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If that don't hold us together, nothing else will. Amen. And God wants us to understand that Jehovah Nissi, we're under that same banner. If you'll come back Wednesday night, I'll try to conclude. There's a lot of preaching to do there. And hopefully and prayerfully, I'll be able to stand a little bit longer. And pray for me, amen? Because I feel like I'm one of them in the back of the line. You know what I mean? I don't like the word weary or the word feeble. And I just wish that before God created a man, I could have got together with him. I would have suggested some grease fittings in strategic areas. Amen. I mean, even if you had to pump lard in there, as long as it would lubricate, Brother Steve. Maybe that's what's the matter with me. Maybe I've pumped too much lard in there over the years. Amen. Michael, quit laughing. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight.